Good morning and happy Sabbath. Man, there you go. There you go. My heart is smiling and I'm genuinely happy to be together with every one of you today. It's great to be together in our MCC Worship Center. And it's great to have all of you worshiping on our virtual campuses of Facebook and YouTube. We're glad you're joining us also this morning. And let me start by saying, MCC Assemble! We are here. Everybody still love Sundays? Yeah. There you go. If you joined us last week, you know that MCC Assemble, that's a reference to the kickoff of our sermon series entitled Avengers Assemble. And if you missed it last week, let me encourage you to go back and watch last week's service, because last week we looked at the fact that all are called, but not everyone responds to that call. And today we continue the series by looking at friendships and how they are key to reaching the vision for what MCC should be and should look like. You know, last week I had my Captain America socks, and this week got my Iron Man socks. I'm ready to go. Keeping my Avengers close. Noah even got his Avengers, his Iron Man shirt on back there, so we are ready for it today. You know, popular TV shows, movies, and songs through the years continue to reflect the need that our society has, that we need friendships, right? A common thread you pick up in all these kind of shows and songs and movies is this sense of caring, reliability on someone else, commonality.
From us to you.
Thanks. Blessed to have you as a pastor. I'll keep that right there. Thank you. I appreciate that. Woo, woo, woo. I'm going to set down here, though, so I don't lose it. There you go. But a sense of reliability, commonality, there's commonality between the people, there's loyalty, boy, and there's a sense of togetherness. And in these cultural shows and movies and music, friendships / friends is just a common theme. It's just throughout, and America loves them. There's shows such as Boy Meets World, young kids having friendships, Happy Days, and go back to Happy Days and the friendships there, and the Fonz and Richie and all that good stuff. Cheers, where everybody knows your name. Yeah. And of course, MASH, where they saw some of the most horrible things together and made it through the war together. Big Bang Theory. Boy, if anybody can be friends with Sheldon, you can be friends with just about anybody. And of course, Mackenzie's favorite and most popular of all time, probably Friends. Friends, the name itself tells you everything you need to know about that show. And then we've had songs like, you know, I'll Be There For You, which, of course, is the theme to the Friends show, With a Little Help from My Friends, or Lean On Me, or That's What Friends Are For, or, of course, You've Got a Friend in Me, which goes right in the movies. You got Toy Story, you got Woody and Buzz, right? Woody and Buzz. And we just saw the sequel. We got Top Gun, Goose and Mav, friendship. And those who've been enjoying the Obi-Wan series, you got Star Wars. You got Anakin and Obi-Wan, Hans and Luke, yeah. And then for some of you like the epics, Forrest Gump. You got Forrest and Bubba. I gotta get Bubba, right? Those were friendships, and we all loved them in the movies. And we could go on and on with more and more movies. But you know what? Our church culture, friendship has been a big theme as well. Songs such as I Am a Friend of God, or What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There's the song Friends by Kenny Marx. And, of course, in the late 80s and 90s, there was the hit Friends by Michael W. Smith, sung at high school graduations across the United States for many, many years. Sung in the office many times this week as I prepared this sermon, as a matter of fact. We've had Christian movies such as To Save a Life, all about high school and friendships and building the right friendships. War Room. The friendships that were built in War Room, Soul Surfer. There was friendships between the two surfers. I Can Only Imagine. And Bart getting through life with his friends. And courageous men, fathers, building friendships together. You know, all these had the friendship theme woven in. It's everywhere. We can't get away from it. You know, there's also an episodic-driven show today, Christian show today, Chosen. The show Chosen. And that's about Jesus and his disciples. And watching those friendships unfold. Shoot, even right here at MCC, we can't get away from it. When I was in high school, we performed a musical called, Stephanie, is she in here? Nope. Friends? Friends. Yes. Friends. We did a show called Friends. Epic show. Epic. Best musical we ever did here. I
was in it, so I'm just saying that. Yeah.
But, I mean, friendship has been everywhere. And it's so much an important theme in our society because we all want to belong and feel loved, don't we? We need a group of people who will recognize us, who will call us out and say, in an essence, we're your family. You're loved here. You're valued here. People all around us, everywhere, are looking for that. And whether you believe it or not, if you haven't seen the movies, you probably don't, but I'm telling you, the Avengers were no different. These superheroes needed a place to belong and to have a personal or have personal relationships. During the Avengers movie saga, we saw multiple friendships develop. We had Captain America and Iron Man. This was a friendship that was definitely raw. We had its ups and downs. We also had the Hulk and Thor. This friendship definitely, this one took some time to develop. There was also Falcon and Captain America, Iron Man and Hulk, Spider-Man and Iron Man, as well as Hawkeye, who we know as Clint, and Black Widow, Natasha. And that's just a few of the friendships that ultimately made the Avengers a team and made them successful in their battles. Well, the Bible, God's word shows us that God recognizes our need for friendship. He built it in us, actually. And you don't have to go any farther than the first book of the Bible, Genesis. Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. God made man, and he provided a beautiful place. It was a great place for man to do his work. A setting men today would consider ideal, peaceful, wildlife, no stress, no boss asking for things to be done on time. Just going around naming animals, naming plants, fishing, hunting. It was ideal. But God announced right here in Genesis that more is to be done. More is needed to be done to achieve the total ideal for what he had for man. God's concern is that man is all alone. Whether or not man felt his loneliness, we don't know at this point. But the divine God, his viewpoint is given here. And God recognizes that man needs more. We need more. God has created human life to have fellowship with him, but also to be a social entity. We have to build relationships with other human beings. It's just part of our makeup. We need it. There's a quote that says, "Man will not live until he loves, giving himself away to another on his own level." We don't live until we build relationships. Living alone just doesn't work. It's not how we're built. God does not want human beings to be alone. Community is his creation, God's creation. We are meant to have relationships, including friendships. We are meant to have relationships, including friendships. Don't believe me? All right, listen up now. Take a moment and poke yourself in the belly button. Woohoo! I'd tell you to poke your neighbor, but that might get us into trouble. Poke your belly button. Our navel is a constant reminder that we all started life connected to another human being. We were connected to start life to another human being. We spend all of our lives trying to get reconnected to someone. God created us. He made us relational people. Still not sure? Still not sure you were called to be into relationships and community? Then I want you to look no further than today's scripture. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It starts out by saying, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone, they're in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. I love the Old Testament. Very, very picturesque, right? Writing pictures. But when we read these words of Solomon, said to be the wisest man, we tend to think in terms of marriage. And there certainly is marriage in this application, in this scriptures. But I believe Solomon, the author, had a much wider application in mind. This part of scripture is for people who are humans on this lonely earth who are wondering how to survive in our dog-eat-dog culture. How are we going to survive in this crazy world? Solomon wants us to understand that friendship, that's a good investment. And guess what? There are benefits to friendship. When the author says in verse 9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed, the word succeed can also be translated good return. It means dividends paid on a wise investment. The very best investment any of us will ever make in life, it's not going to be a financial one, but rather the investment made into our relationships. We will get the best return on that investment over any other investment we will ever make, building the best relationships, the best friendships. Now, as we go through life, there are two kinds of things we can give our lives to. Some people love to just accumulate stuff, get possessions. They're constantly trying to get more and more better stuff. He who dies with the most toys wins, right? There's people that live that philosophy. However, since Malcolm Forbes is the one who first said that about he who dies with the most toys wins, and he's dead, he didn't really win, did he? So we know that's not true. If we spend all our time in our lives trying to accumulate more and more possessions, we're never truly going to be happy. We're never going to be fulfilled. On the other hand, we can decide to focus on building relationships, trying to make friends, and on the other side of that coin, be a friend. And the central point made in verse 9 that we just read about two being better than one goes on and is expounded on in verses 10 through 12 that we read. There were three illustrations that show the benefits of a genuine friendship. Verse 10 showed us help when times are difficult. That's when a genuine friendship really stands out. We get help in times of difficulty. Verse 10 is talking about comfort in times of need. You know, keeping each other warm when it's cold. Comfort in times of need. And then the third illustration is verse 12. Protection in times of danger. Protection in times of danger. And then finally, Solomon ends the second part of verse 12 by letting us know that three friends are even stronger than two. Solomon is telling us that friendship can operate and can happen in larger numbers than just pairs. You can have more than one friend. You can be more than a pair. Multiple friends is better. You see, God wants us to be in community, to have friendships. Guess what? Today, that community of friendships is found in His church. It's found in His church. But some of you may be saying, Pastor Jeff, what do you mean when you say friendship? And I say to you who are asking it, good question. The term friendship, as we all know today, has multiple meanings. It can be a very thin meaning on the level of, hey, buddy, hey, pal. Someone you go out and have fun with, but that's about it. More popularly today, you hear about bros. Bros never take things too seriously. In this sense, friendship is a good thing, but still something characterized by levity and superficial commitments. It's not a big deal. We don't really care necessarily too deeply about each other. But on the other hand, the classical meaning of friendship, however, and the friendship that we are to start delving into and starting to have in our lives is different. It's so much more profound than that casual pal-buddy friendship. In fact, it's a kind of love. It's a love of a brother or sister or peer. Friendship is a strong bond of fellowship. And it's an affection centered around whether you have shared values or common interests and activity. It's a strong bond around a job or a mission. And friendship draws people together. Real friendship draws people together, making them better making them stronger, happier, and my favorite, more energized. I like to be more energized. That's why I get energized around here. Y'all, you come in and say, Pastor Jeff, I get balloons. Bust you out of the pastor. It energizes you when you see people who care for you, right? And that's what it's all about. That's genuine friendship. So when I talk about friendship today, I'm talking about the love of another, where you have common interests and affections, and where you truly desire good things for each other. It is a deep and powerful kind of love that creates strong bonds of community and inspires you to do sacrificial acts. I want to read you a quick story that illustrates the kind of friendship I'm talking about this morning. One of the furnaces of war comes many true stories of sacrificial friendships, right? One such story tells of two friends in World War I. They were inseparable. They had enlisted together, they'd trained together, they were shipped overseas together, and fought side by side in the trenches. During an attack, one of the men was critically wounded in the field, and it was filled with barbed wire obstacles, and he was unable to crawl back to a foxhole. The entire area was under a withering enemy crossfire, and it was suicidal to even try to go to him, to reach him. Yet his friend decided to try. But before he could get out of his trench, the sergeant yanked him back inside and ordered him not to go. It's too late. You can't do anything for him, and you'll just get yourself killed. A few minutes later, the officer turned his back, and his friend instantly was gone, and he was going after his friend. A few minutes later, he staggered back. He was mortally wounded, and his friend now dead in his arms. The sergeant was both angry and deeply moved. What a waste, he blurted out. He's dead. You're dying. It just wasn't worth it. With almost his last breath, the dying man replied, Oh, yes, it was, Sarge. When I got to him, the only thing he said was, I knew you'd come, Jim. One of the true marks of a friend is that they are there when there is every reason for them not to be. When to be there is going to be costly, sacrificially costly. This is the type of friendship we are talking about. It's the kind that Jesus talks about in John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is friendship. This is the friendship I'm talking about this morning. One that was championed by Jesus and one that contains the four elements. It contains the four elements of a genuine friendship. One element of a genuine friendship, shared experiences. Shared experiences. The Avengers had many shared experiences, from having superpowers and abilities to the many experiences they had fighting in battles together. As the Avengers spent more and more time together, they became a closer group, a more powerful team, and their friendships grew stronger. If you never do anything with somebody, you don't really have a friendship, do you? That kind of relationship is an acquaintance, not a friendship. I look at my Facebook and I got all these numbers of friends. But there's only handfuls that I actually do things with, right? And all these others are really just acquaintances. Oh, they might have been stronger relationships at one time, but now we've moved and gone different places and we don't do anything together. But when you share experiences together, going out to dinner, going to each other's kids' ball games, working out together, I don't do much of that, but some people do, they work out together, or just hanging out at each other's houses as you do things together, you have shared experiences that produce a stronger friendship. You know what? The church is just like that, folks. In any given local church body, the believers have all the same shared experience. And it's the shared experience of salvation. Salvation. We can each point to a time in our lives when we realized that our sin separated us from God and that we decided we needed Jesus as our Savior. And at that point in time, maybe it was a time of crisis, maybe not. Maybe it happened in a church or at church camp or maybe at home or maybe at work. Somewhere, sometime, each of us who are saved, turned from our sin and trusted in what Jesus did on the cross to save us from our sins. Shared experience, salvation. And that shared experience, And by the way, that's not whether we voted for the same candidate, or if we hold the same political ideology, or even the fact if we graduated from the same high school. None of that makes us part of God's church. Only Christ's salvation for us, only what Christ did on the cross for us does. And that makes us not just friends, but family. We are family. You know, I love all kinds of people, and I have a number of friends. But I really have a special relationship with those who have trusted their lives to Christ. I feel closer to believers I have just met than I do some of my, you know, extended family members, my kinfolk, if you will. I've known some of them my entire life, but some of them haven't found Christ. Why? Why do I feel closer to someone I just met than family I've known my entire life? Because we have the shared experience of salvation, the most important event in our lives. My kids being born, pretty important. Marrying my wife, oh, that was important. But nothing is more important than our shared experience of salvation. We know what it is to be a sinner. We're destined for hell. We're deserving nothing but God's judgment. But we have received the undeserved grace of God. If you're thankful for that today, let me hear an amen. You see, we brothers and sisters in God's family know what Jesus did up on that cross. We know what he did, that he was willing to die a horrendous, horrible, painful death for my sin, your sin, all sin. We know, just like he told us in John 15, that this is the greatest kind of love, and that Jesus, man, he set the standard for what friendship is and what it should look like in God's church, in God's family. Sacrificial. That's what friendship should be, sacrificial. We further know that we are expected to follow Jesus' example in all areas of our lives, and that includes friendship. Jesus is our shared experience, and it is the shared experience. Another element of genuine friendship, common goals, working together, common goals. In the movie Avengers Infinity War, the Avengers had one goal: stop Thanos from getting his hands on all the Infinity Stones and then wiping out half of, the Earth's population was what they were most worried about, but it also took care of half the population of all worlds. They worked together, they fought together, but unfortunately, in that movie, they lost together. But they knew they could count on each other to never stop fighting, to keep moving forward, no matter the result. It's because of their genuine friendship that they were able to overcome that loss and in the final movie, obtain victory. Common goals. They counted on each other. They worked together. And just like the Avengers, our closest and most intimate friends are those who share similar goals in life with us, right? If you're committed to having and raising kids, you usually don't have too many close friends who hate kids, do you? That just doesn't usually work. If one of your goals is to live a moral, godly life, you're probably not going to want to spend a lot of time around people who habitually live an immoral, wasteful lifestyle. It's probably just not a good fit, not a good idea, not common. In fact, Scripture tells us in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. If we have common goals, right? We're working together. We're going to make each other sharper. We're going to make each other more ready. We're going to keep each other encouraged. That's how we sharpen each other. We need friends that are going to help us, make us better, and help us reach our goals. In fact, we need to make friends who share our values and our vision for life. We just do. Our closest friendships are usually nurtured with those who have those common goals. This is why involved people in a church, that's why we draw so close to each other. We have common goals. Those on this peripheral usually stay, you know, they stay that way. They stay together because they catch the vision. They catch the vision. The shared goals of the church. And those who don't live that life, don't come to church, they don't understand this. They don't understand what's going on. It's hard for them to be on the same page that we are because they don't get it. And those who share the church's biblical goals through membership find themselves drawing close together in friendship and kinship because they share these goals. We make one each other stronger. We make each other better in our Christian walk. Together, we keep moving forward with God's work in and around our community, no matter what Satan and no matter what the world throws at us. That's what we do. So what are the common goals of MCC? Well, last week we talked about our mission statement, which we believe is God's mission, which we have dubbed our 6E mission statement, and it's evangelizing, educating, equipping, and encouraging people to exemplify Christ and to engage the communities we serve. But how we fulfill that mission is through our vision, which God has laid on the hearts of our leaders. And our vision currently, as it stands, says, attending to the needs of one another, doing good to everyone, and proving by the way that we live that God is in control. Through this vision statement, our church has three common goals. Within these three goals, there are many sub-goals that will help us all achieve the vision statement, which will help us fulfill God's mission for MCC. So we achieve the vision, we're going to be doing God's mission. So, number one goal is right there, attending to the needs of one another. And under that are things like, everyone has assurance of salvation. We make sure everybody knows they can be saved. They have this assurance. We believe in prayer and financial support for the church so the church can go do God's work. We believe in service in a ministry or program of the church. We believe in a commitment to loving, praying for, ministering to the needs of, and being there for the body of MCC and the community around us. In other words, practicing the one another commands of Jesus, right? We believe in all this. This is what it means to attend to the needs of one another. This is what we want everybody in our congregation, in our body, who comes to do. This is how we reach God's mission. This is one of the ways, our vision, attending to the needs of one another. Second goal was in that statement was do good to everyone. And this is things like being committed to serving in the communities around MCC. However that may look, whether it's building, planting mats. Couldn't do it to save my life, but I can collect bags for that, right? Whether it's handing out bread, whether it's making sacks for the backpacks of peanut butters and things for the kids, whether it's helping out right in your own neighborhood, helping a neighbor mow or something. There's just so many different ways that we can serve in the community around us. And that we are also committed to worldwide evangelization and contributes to the missions. We do that through our giving. And you guys have been so generous in your giving, even through all of COVID. I can't even thank you enough. We don't hand the plates over anymore. We put it on you to either get online and do it or put it in the boxes on the side. And you guys keep doing it because we're committed to helping the world around us. And that's what it takes. That's doing good to everyone. We just want to live a good life. We want to do good for everyone. And the third goal, proving by the way we live that God is in control. That God is in control. And this has many sub-goals. Things like striving to be like Jesus Christ and obey His word. Obey the word of God. A commitment to growing in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We're committed to that. We're trying to do that the best we can. We believe in membership and faithfulness to MCC services, activities, and to our outreach. And we believe MCC body is committed to evangelism and being trained to be able to share a simple explanation of the gospel. We don't need everybody to have to go preach on a mountain, but we need you to be ready to talk to your neighbor, a friend, a coworker about Jesus. That's what we have to do. And there's one more sub-goal that's not on this. It'll be on the next slide. That's part of our vision. And I hope it's one we will all commit to for the 5 weeks starting on July 17th. The MCC body is committed to participating in small groups. Small groups. We show the world and the community how we live together because we spend time together, not just on Sunday mornings, right? We don't just do it on Sunday mornings for Sunday school and church. We do it outside of Sunday mornings. We have fellowship with one another, building relationships and friendships. And one way we can do that is through small groups. Folks, that's what MCC is all about. That's our vision. We are not a country club. We are not a social club. We are not here to advance people's careers by being an exclusive clique. No, 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 no. We've got grand goals, and we believe in, and we are reaching for those goals, and we are serious about them. We are serious about them. So serious about them, this week on your way out, there'll be a bookmark you can grab for adults. On it is our slogan, our purpose, our vision, and on the back is our mission statement with the six E's, with the scriptures lined out. Grab one. Keep it with you. Why do you go to MCC? Let me tell you why I go to MCC. Because I believe in all this. I believe God's asked me to be a part of a church that believes in all of this. A church that wants to attend to the needs of one another, do good to everyone, and prove to the world by the way we live that Christ and God are in control. So I want you to grab one. Take one with you. Keep it with you. It's just our little gift to you as a way to remind not just yourself, but to be able to tell others, have a quick tool to tell others what it's all about being a part of MCC. And maybe challenge you to try to live up to those. That's our goal, is that we do our best to live up to those, because that's what God's asked us to do. Any of you who catch the vision and get in on it and what God's up to around here, we have common goals. And guess what? We find lasting relationship, genuine friendships together. We feel a sense of belonging. We have a stake in God's work. And we feel a sense of ownership in MCC. And let me tell you something. I believe that people who catch the vision and get involved in that and carrying out of this vision, I truly believe this, are the most fulfilled, happy, excited Christians I know. We're living for a purpose together in community, have friendships. We're doing it together. The next element of genuine friendship, solved problems. The Avengers may be superheroes, but they have disagreements just like any other friendships, just like the rest of us. Hulk and Thor had issues. There was one point they were fighting a battle together. You see a comic version of it there. They got done. They won it. Hulk just hits Thor. They got issues in that friendship, right? Captain America and Iron Man definitely had disagreements. In fact, they didn't talk to each other for over 2 years. But when push came to shove, they were able to work through their differences for the good of the team and to save the earth. Scripture tells us in Proverbs 18:24, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real, true, genuine, real friend sticks closer than a brother. Now, I've never met two friends who at one time or another didn't get into a disagreement or even get mad at one another over something. Shoot, go to the Bible, read Acts chapter 15, and you'll see Paul and Barnabas, two godly leaders, two friends. They had an issue. They had a disagreement. They even split and went separate ways at that point, because they had a disagreement. But if it's a genuine friendship, what do? You work it out. You examine your behavior, and if you're wrong, you make it right. And then, of course, if you just can't work it out for some reason, maybe stubbornness or pride, well, then you just got to forgive your friend, because he or she is your friend, and good friends can overlook a lot of things. As the writer of 1 Peter said, love covers a multitude of sins. And this is true in the church, isn't it? Listen, sooner or later, someone in the church is going to say something or do something that's going to hurt your feelings. You might fume about it. You might feel the unfairness of it. You might even have to go confront this person about it. But because they're family, somehow, some way, you just work it out. You forgive because God expects us to forgive and solve the problem. That's His expectation for us as a church family. That's biblical. Over and over again, the Bible tells us to forgive one another, to love one another, to bear with one another, to work out our problems together. Again, why? Well, because we're friends, we're family, and we're genuine friends. And that's what you do when you have genuine friendships, a genuine family. You forgive, you get through things, you work through things, you solve the problems. And the final element of genuine friendship, mutual commitment. You better believe the Avengers were all in and committed to protecting the Earth and conquering their enemies. That was their commitment. They were committed to it no matter what. You can't have a genuine friendship if you're the only one committed to it, can you? If you're the only one working at it. Now, we've all experienced the sad realization that a friendship we wanted to have with someone, or that we thought we had with someone, wasn't reciprocal. It wasn't where we thought it was. You were committed to the relationship, but the other party, not so much. And that's sad. But guess what? You came to realize that that was not a real friendship. It wasn't there in the first place. It wasn't a genuine friendship. Because a genuine friendship requires mutual commitment, being committed to each other and the work and the common goals and the shared experiences and solving problems. And you know what? You ought to be committed to a church family. A church and its people offer you biblical guidance, teaching from God's word, encouragement, prayers, fellowship, and sometimes, yes, sometimes even tangible things like meals. Yeah. You get to try hot chili. Yeah, that's good stuff. Or if you're sick or hurting, we can bring meals to you. We help you out. Or maybe you need a visit in the hospital, or maybe you just need someone to pray with you. These are the things the church and its people are committed to ministering to you. The question is, are you committed to ministering to them? Well, how do you do that around here? We're here in MCC. You can get involved in ministry. There's all kinds of places to do that and places to serve. You can help in the nursery. You can teach a kids' class. You can be an usher. You can help out around the church, host a small group. You can learn streaming. You can learn slides. You can learn sound. They're really not that hard. They're a little scary, but they're not that hard, I promise you. Right? You can get up here and sing. You can, I promise you. Play the piano, strum a guitar, beat a drum. There are all kinds of ways to help around here to make it possible for us to be the church that God wants us to be. Brothers and sisters, let's be committed to one another as we share experiences together, as we work towards common goals, as we solve our disagreements the way Christ would. And let's be the church God wants, and let the light of Christ shine through every one of us. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing." MCC, we're doing it. I see it. But I bet we can be better. We've always strived to be better, to be stronger, to improve, to do things better and better for God. And we're not going to stop today. Our vision statement won't allow us to do that. As God's church, MCC, we should be the place everyone comes to see what genuine friendship looks like. Amen? That's what we should be. Today's takeaway: start with Jesus and let your friendships grow from there. Start with Jesus and let your friendships grow from there. Let your foundation be Jesus. It's got to start from there. Become a disciple. Respond to the call. Accept the call. Accept Jesus and follow him. And when you do that and follow what he says and believe in him, you will see your friendships flourish as we grow stronger and serve together. Who's ready? MCC, assemble! Let us pray.